Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I'll be reading the Bloomington Normal Pantograph dated Tuesday, August 14th, 2018. Let's begin on the front page. Youth Build Graduation Marks Growth Service. Quentin Toon grew from a teen who hid in the hoodie to one who finds common ground among people. Reagan Cagley developed from a teen with trust issues to a mother hen who connects with others. Toon and Cagley, both 18 and from Bloomington, were among 31 young people who graduated Monday night from Youth Build McLean County in a spirited ceremony at the Illinois State University Center for the Performing Arts Concert Hall in Normal. The 31 students make up the 25th graduating class of the accredited alternative high school for youths who struggled in traditional high schools. Youth Build students come from diverse backgrounds, Executive Director Tracy Polson explained before the ceremony, but all were not on track to graduate on time at their traditional high school. Some of Youth Build's 75 students, ages 16 through 24, are homeless. Some are parents. Some have criminal histories. Some have been in foster care. And some have physical, mental, emotional, or learning disabilities, Paulson explained. The traditional school environment doesn't work for everyone, Paulson said. Young people come to Youth Build because they haven't found success elsewhere and believe that Youth Build can help them to finish their education and find a future path. Youth Build students succeed because they are provided support and guidance by staff as they attend classes, learn job skills, and get involved in the community by building affordable housing and working for nonprofit organizations in Bloomington Normal, said Polson and Development Director Alicia Lennard. This class has completed 77,000 hours of community service work since September 1st, Polson said. Youth Build gives young people an opportunity to connect to the community and give back. You are less likely to victimize a neighborhood if you are helping to build community. Youth Build, which is supported by tuition dollars, McLean County Unit 5 School District, local businesses, United Way of McLean County, and state and federal grants, has a year-round school year, which is why graduation is in August. These are 31 people who had the odds stacked against them, Paulson said. After today, they have the opportunity, skills, and confidence to hold jobs, to empathize with others, and to share their ideas of how to make change. Toon said he didn't feel connected in traditional high schools and made a lot of bad choices, but he said Youth Build staff gave him the one-on-one support he needed. Cagley had a bad experience in traditional high schools with bullying and teaching styles that didn't work for her. Once I started at Youth Build, I connected with the teachers, she said. They took an interest in me as soon as I walked in the door. They put things in ways that I could understand. They made me feel like part of the family. Toon said that he developed people skills, which has helped him to support others. Cagley said that Youth Build staff taught her strategies to manage her anxiety, and she has used what she has learned to help other students. It's been a tough summer, said Paulson, referring to youth violence in Bloomington Normal earlier this summer. Youth Build students knew some of the victims of violence. Our young people were really hurting, Paulson said. But they talked about it and discussed what kind of community they want to live in. Cagley and Toon plan to go to college. Toon wants to become a systems administrator, and Cagley hopes to study dermatology or veterinary science. This graduation, Toon said, means that many hardworking, critical thinking minds are available in our community. And Cagley said, it means that other kids will realize there's a chance for them. We are here. We can make a difference, Toon said. Let's do this. Democrats to object to BEC vote signatures. McLean County Democrats are striking back against a proposed referendum to end the Bloomington Election Commission. Party leaders plan to file an objection after they found many issues with petitions triggering a question filed last week by local Republicans and Libertarians. Party Chair Eric Rankin told the Pantograph Monday evening, "There are enough inconsistencies and enough omissions that if this were successful, the question would be kicked off the ballot," said Rankin. "We would not have attempted to fight this if there weren't a lot of issues." Republicans and Libertarians turned in about 1,300 signatures from registered Bloomington voters versus 1,000 needed for a question on the November 6th ballot. "I'm way more than confident, 100% confident this is going to survive a challenge," said Steve Seuss, chair of the McLean County Libertarian Party. "Our validity was high. We'll have no problem getting this thing on the ballot." Connie Beard, chair of the McLean County Republican Party, was less bullish, though she agreed with Seuss's contention that those collecting and verifying signatures went through due diligence. "We did our best. I'm hopeful we will survive any challenge that comes forward," she said. "We'll just have to wait and see how all plays out." Rankin said hundreds of signatures had problems, including people who are not registered voters, who don't live in the city, and didn't personally sign. "You could see where a husband signed for a wife, that kind of thing," said Rankin. "You had others where they're supposed to sign and clearly printed. Instead, some scratched things out and started over on a line, which you cannot do on a petition form. There was not much attention to detail." Rankin said Denise Williams is expected to be listed as the objector. Beard was the petitioner when signatures were filed with the circuit clerk on August the 6th. "We believe it'll go in front of a judge at some point in the next 5 days," said Rankin. Republicans and Libertarians have championed eliminating the BEC, which handles elections in the city, and consolidating local elections to the McLean County Clerk's Office as a cost-saving measure that would reduce confusion. Democrats have said that they prefer a countywide election commission, which may be less partisan than an elected official. "I find it curious that the Democrats are against letting the voters have a choice in their election system," said Beard. "All we're doing is putting the issue on the ballot, which is long overdue." Seuss said the challenge could benefit Republicans and Libertarians hoping to educate the public about the question this fall. "I'm happy people are talking about the referendum," said Seuss. "In a very strange way, I think the challenge might actually be a good thing for us." Trial delayed for former arena official. The September 10th trial date for a former member of the management team that supervised the city-owned arena has been postponed until October. In indictments returned in September 2017, Bart Rogers is accused of stealing public money during the time that he served as general manager of Central Illinois Arena Management, CIAM, the firm hired by the city to oversee what was then U.S. Cellular Coliseum, and what is now Grossinger Motors Arena. A September jury trial set on those charges has been rescheduled for October 15th. In July, the state filed a new charge against Rogers, accusing him of illegally transferring $15,000 in 2013 from a CIM bank account to Illinois Pro Sports, a company in which he served as a managing partner. Illinois Pro Sports is a former owner of the Thunder hockey team, now known as the Flying Aces. First Assistant State's Attorney Brad Rigdon said the state intends to prosecute the two cases separately. Associate Judge Michael Stroh said Monday that he expects to issue a ruling this week on a defense motion seeking dismissal of the initial seven charges. Defense lawyer Stephanie Wong previously argued the accusations fall outside the time limits for filing such charges in Illinois. A similar motion by Wong on the first indictments was granted, and the state later refiled the charges. Rogers is one of five former CIAM executives accused of financial misconduct. During the 10 years, the company managed the city-owned venue. A total of 111 indictments were returned last year against CIAM owner John Y. Butler. Paul Grazer, former food and beverage director for CIAM, Jay Lesh, former finance director for BMI Concessions, and Kelly Klein, the arena's former assistant general manager for finance. The indictments include theft, money laundering, wire fraud, and tax-related offenses. The comments from city officials about the complex criminal case against CIAM and its managers justifies moving at least one of the trials outside McLean County, according to a recently filed motion from lawyers for John Y. Butler. Butler argues potential jurors have been prejudiced by negative remarks, including those comparing the working relationship between the city and CIAM to a Soviet gulag, his lawyers have argued. Remains of ex-Shinoa man found. A sheriff's department in Missouri is investigating the suspicious death of a former Shinoa man whose remains were found 2 months ago in the central part of that state. Miller County Sheriff Louis Gregor on Monday said that his office has investigated more than 60 leads into the death of Tyler Worthington, 34, most recently of North San Juan, California. His remains were discovered in Miller County on June 11th. Gregor and investigators declined to release many details, but confirmed investigators have classified the case as a homicide and are looking for the vehicle Worthington was possibly driving while he was in Missouri, a 2018 white Toyota Corolla with Illinois plate AW70304. Worthington's remains were found in an unspecified area of the county that is about 150 miles west of St. Louis. Investigators also declined to elaborate on how Worthington died or what he may have been doing in that part of Missouri. At the time his body was found, Worthington's name had been entered into the National Missing Persons Database. The Miller County Sheriff's Department is being assisted by the Missouri State Highway Patrol Division of Crime and Drug Control. Anyone with information about the case is asked to contact the Miller County Sheriff's Office at 573-369-2341 or Darren Haslag of the Missouri State Highway Patrol at 573-526-6329 extension 3630. One dead after pickup rolls over on I-74. At least one person was killed and another injured when a pickup truck pulling a camper rolled over on Monday on Interstate 74 about 3 miles west of Carlock. State police said the pickup pulling a non-motorized camper was westbound about 6:10 p.m. when it went off the road to the right and rolled over at mile marker 117. State police declined to identify the number of occupants and who was killed or injured, saying the information was being withheld until next of kin are notified. One person was flown from the scene via a life flight helicopter to an area hospital for unspecified injuries, police said. Traffic lanes were closed briefly to allow the helicopter to land and take off. The state police and Woodford County Sheriff's Department are investigating. Daily Digest. County offers school immunizations. The McLean County Health Department is offering walk-in clinics for last-minute school immunizations on the third floor of 200 West Front Street, Bloomington. No appointments are required, but the wait times could be 1 to 2 hours. The clinics will be 8:15 to 11 a.m. and 1 to 3:30 p.m. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and August 21st, and 10:15 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. and 2 p.m. Monday. Children must have their vaccine record and insurance cards, and those under 18 must be accompanied by a parent or a legal guardian or have signed a proxy form. The department accepts private health insurance, Medicaid, Medicare, private pay, and federal vaccines for children program for uninsured and underinsured children. Appointments for required school oral health exams are available for those covered by Medicaid or who are self-paying but meet income guidelines. Call 309-888-5479. Fitness Court to open in Lincoln. Fitness Court, an outdoor gym for adults of all fitness levels, will open with a launch party at 9 a.m. Thursday on the site of the former Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital Building, 255 8th Street in Lincoln. The launch party, which is open to the public, will include a ribbon-cutting ceremony, a fitness court challenge, awards ceremony, introduction to exercises, snacks, and giveaways. Fitness Court is a partnership of the Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital Community Health Collaborative, City of Lincoln, and the National Fitness Campaign, inventors of Fitness Court and Outdoor Body Weight Circuit Training Facility. Today in History. Today is Tuesday, August 14th, the 226th day of 2018. There are 139 days left in the year. Thought for today. Freedom of speech and freedom of action are meaningless without the freedom to think, and there is no freedom of thought without doubt. It's written by Bergen Baldwin Evans, American author, 1904 to 1978. Today's Flick Fact. Question. Why might 204 West Willow in Normal want to be included on a tour of places you might not have known about in Bloomington Normal? And the answer is, that is reportedly where in 1969 at a party in a large house there, Normal police busted a party where 136 beer kegs were consumed, and among those arrested on public consumption and underage drinking charges was John Belushi of Wheaton, later of TV's SNL and movie fame. Wildfire claims are top 700. State Farm has taken hundreds of insurance claims related to the latest round of California wildfires, but a lot more work is still to come. As of this morning, State Farm had approximately 790 homeowner claims from the Carr Fire in Redding, California, said spokesman Jim Camarino on Monday. We don't have vehicle claim numbers to report at this time. Camarino said that he can't yet provide dollar figures as blazes continue in the Golden State due to drought, warmer weather attributed to climate change, and home construction deeper into the forests, the Associated Press reported. The two-week-old Carr Fire killed 8 people and burned more than 1,000 homes, but was more than 50% contained on Saturday. It's one of nearly 20 blazes burning across California. More than 20,000 people were reportedly told to evacuate at one point. That includes the largest wildfire ever recorded in California, the Mendocino Complex, burning north of Sacramento, that destroyed more than 100 homes. It was nearly 70% contained. On Sunday, it had covered 525 square miles. The Holy Fire, named for Holy Jim Canyon, where it began August the 6th, was 41% contained Sunday afternoon after burning across 35.5 square miles of dry timber and brush, said Lynn Tolmakoff of the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. There aren't many homes affected in the Holy Fire, said Camoriano of State Farm's reaction to the blaze. We have not called a large-scale response to that specific area compared to the Carr Fire, for example. Camoriano said the fires are a good reminder to people everywhere to make a home inventory, back up their information, create and rehearse an evacuation plan, create an evacuation package, and talk to an agent about coverage. California was also hit hard by wildfires last year in a rare winter fire outbreak, fed by fierce winds. State Farm spokeswoman Missy Dundoff said in February that State Farm had paid about $98.4 million for 2,960 home owner claims received and about $2 million of 380 auto claims received for last fall's Southern California fires. For October's Northern California fire, State Farm had paid about $1.2 billion for 4,540 homeowner claims received and about $20.7 million for 1,340 auto claims received, according to Dundoff. If treated as a single disaster, the combined fires in October and December represent one of the most damaging natural catastrophes in California history, said State Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones in February. They damaged or destroyed 32,000 homes, 4,300 businesses, and more than 8,200 vehicles, boats, and other equipment, said Jones. Total insurance claims for all insurance companies surpassed $11.8 billion. Green Top liquor change delayed. Green Top Grocery will have to wait a little longer for a new liquor classification that would allow it to sell packaged beer and wine that customers could open and drink at the store and then take home. The City Council decided unanimously Monday to delay the vote on the measure until August the 27th after two aldermen, Jamie Mathey of Ward 1 and David Sage of Ward 2, raised concerns that the wording of the classification was so broad it could possibly allow people to purchase and consume alcohol at a gas station or lead to other unintended consequences in the future. Green Top, 921 East Washington Street, asked the City Liquor Commission in June to create the classification to allow customers to purchase alcohol at the store, open and consume it at the store during special promotions or events like cooking classes, and then take home what they didn't drink. In order to approve the request, the city had to approve an ordinance to establish the new classification. A significant number of residents, specifically in Ward 1, were concerned with what they perceive as gas stations that have gambling machines in them, said Mathey. Larger gas stations that technically are classified as truck stops are allowed by law to have gambling machines, but the way this was worded, there was nothing to stop any gas station from coming back and applying for one of these packaged sales and consumption on the premises licenses. While the council could ultimately deny such a license if circumstances did not merit a business having one, it's just easier to stop it at the beginning by making sure we have proper definitions of what the expectations are, said Mathey. Sage said that in a conversation he had earlier Monday with Assistant City Attorney George Boyle, he asked, "Have we thought through what could potentially be some of the unintended consequences of a broad classification like this?" The council asked Boyle to bring back to the council new wording with tighter controls, such as potentially limiting the classification to just establishments whose primary is business selling food. The store, which opened in May of 2017, owns a liquor license to sell packaged beer and wine, but current laws do not permit the products to be opened on site. In June, the city's Liquor Commission recommended the new classification after no one spoke against the change. In other action Monday, the council unanimously approved part of the upcoming repaving and reconfiguration of Front Street from Madison to Centers Streets as a downtown Southwest Tax Increment Financing District redevelopment project. The designation would allow the city to recover the $250,000 cost to redo that portion of Front Street that is within the three-block TIF district. In a TIF district, additional property tax money generated by the improvements is set aside to pay for economic development incentives and infrastructure work. Taxing bodies receive only the money they would have collected from the TIF district before any improvements were made. There has been no new redevelopment in the TIF district since it was created in October 2016, so there is no TIF money to tap yet. The council approved an interactive kiosk featuring Bloomington Normal's Route 66 history at the northeast corner of Jefferson and Main Streets as part of the council's consent agenda. Clinton firm says it is cleaning up diesel spill. A Clinton trucking company says that it is cleaning up a diesel fuel spill that contaminated a nearby pond and creek, an incident that has led to a lawsuit filed by the Attorney General's office. Lisa Madigan's office filed the complaint in DeWitt County Circuit Court against H&M Trucking Company, which specializes in transporting food products. The lawsuit, Madigan's office said Monday morning, alleges that about 4,000 gallons of diesel fuel were spilled at H&M's trucking terminal on Clinton's west side at 6287 Sky Road. Illinois Environmental Protection Agency spokeswoman Kim Biggs said the spill occurred on or around June 30th, but further details were not available Monday. The spill, the lawsuit contends, contaminated soil, a pond, and a nearby creek. The complaint states that when diesel fuel reaches a body of water, it almost immediately forms an oil slick on the water's surface that is toxic to aquatic organisms and plants. Human exposure to diesel fumes can cause dizziness, headaches, nausea, and more severe symptoms like heart palpitations. H&M Trucking owner Travis Hoffman referred questions to his attorney. H&M Trucking is working with the Attorney General's office and the EPA to address their concerns associated with the fuel spill, said attorney Teresa Powell. Cleanup efforts are underway and ongoing. According to Madigan's lawyer, the leak went unreported and the fuel soaked into the ground at and around the site, spreading into a large residential pond about a half mile south of the terminal. The fuel covered the entire surface of the pond and killed vegetation in a 2-foot perimeter around the pond, prompting the property owner to contact state authorities and the Attorney General's office. On July 23rd, investigators with the IEPA observed an oil slick covering the pond and a tributary that emptied into Coon Creek. Instead of immediately reporting the diesel fuel leak and containing the contamination, H&M allowed the fuel to spread, jeopardizing the environment and people's health, Madigan said. H&M must clean up the contamination and rather of the site while the cause of the leak is investigated. In addition to the lawsuit, Madigan also filed a motion for a preliminary injunction requiring H&M to clean up the contaminated areas and prepare a report detailing the cause and the extent of the diesel spill. H&M has hired an environmental consultant to help evaluate the contamination and oversee emergency cleanup while the legal action proceeds. Madigan's lawsuit seeks to prevent future unreported spills and impose civil penalties against H&M. Last year, the company was hit with an EPA violation after Clinton residents complained about odors from the facility. Residents also complained to the DeWitt County Board in 2015 about odors. At that time, the company restructured a plumbing system in an effort to control the smell. We've now come to the end of the first half hour of the Pantograph. We'll take a short break. Please stay tuned.